Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I looked up at the brick facade of the building. On the face of it hung a white painted plywood sign. The paint peeled at the corners, obviously old. On it was a single word, written in faded black ink. Spa. The building appeared to be old, probably built sometime around the 1920s. It was a bit of a landmark for the town, settled right in the heart of the historic district. I looked down at the small, rectangular piece of paper in my hand. There was an animated picture of a woman, like one of those 1950s-style cartoons. She had a towel wrapped around the top of her head, a green face mask and cucumbers over her eyes. The message was written in the same font as the worn sign. Exchange this coupon for one free service of your choice. This offer does not expire. I turned my gaze back toward the aluminium frame glass door and entered. Small bells chimed as they crashed against the door. The smell of lemongrass and eucalyptus welcomed me as the door swung shut. There was a frail, old lady sitting behind the counter. She held a magazine closely in front of her face, reading it intently. I stood there for a moment, expecting her to look up and greet me. When she never did, I let out a quiet ahem. She looked up from her magazine, appearing to be slightly startled. Her thick rimmed glasses magnified her eyes underneath, large and cartoonish. She slowly rose from her seat and approached the counter. "Sorry about that," she said in a shaky voice. "Sometimes I get so intrigued by my stories that I don't hear those bells. Seems like I don't hear much these days," she giggled. "What can I do for you, sweetheart?" I looked down at the small paper flyer in my hand. It was wrinkled and worn, but the message clearly said it didn't expire. "Yeah," I started, extending my hand out towards her. "I found this coupon and I'm wondering if I could still use it." She looked at me over her glasses, which were perched on the tip of a wrinkled nose, stretched her arm out and took the paper in a loose grasp. After examining it for a moment, she looked back up, a warm smile still sat on her face. "Why yes, honey, sure you can. What services were you looking for today?" I looked behind her, consulting a small board tacked on the wall. It was plain white with black sticker letters. I noticed a few different options. A massage 60 minutes, full body massage, a facial, a mani-pedi, and one that appeared to be worn away. "I'm sorry, what's the last one?" I asked, pointing up to the board. She turned and examined it for a moment, then quickly whipped back around before excitedly telling me, "Oh, that's the float tank. It's a sensory deprivation chamber. You get a 60-minute session with this coupon." "What exactly is a sensory deprivation chamber?" I asked with genuine intrigue. She bent over and reached into a cabinet just below the board, removing a small, plastic case of some sort. "Honey, I think it's something you're going to fall in love with." She smiled that same warm smile she'd shown before. "It's a tank that we've filled with about 8 inches of water, heated to your body temperature, and mixed with an inordinate amount of Epsom salt. It really soothes the skin. The tank is soundproof and completely dark, so your mind can relax in ways you've never experienced before as well." She looked me up and down for a moment, before continuing. "If you'd like to use it, you'll need these earplugs." She slid the small plastic case across the counter. "You don't want to get that water in your ears." "Is it safe?" I asked, curiosity building inside me. "Oh yes," she assured me. "It's very safe. The only trouble some people have is that they claim to have vivid visual or auditory hallucinations." She smirked for a moment. "Sometimes both. But you seem like a strong enough young man. You look like you've got a good head on your shoulders. I don't think you'll have any troubles once you're inside. I thought about it for a moment. I did have a fairly good grip on reality, in my opinion. My stomach did flips inside me as excitement, coupled with the slightest bit of fear, surged through my veins. Okay, I said after a few moments. I'll do it. She continued grinning as she made her way around the counter to a door on the left side of the room. Come with me, she called, pulling the door open and stepping through. I followed with anxious steps as she led me down a dimly lit hall. Room after room of massage chairs, manicure booths, and pedicure seats passed before we finally reached our destination. She opened the door, stepping into the small area. It was an empty room, save for a large, tan-colored metal tank in the middle with a couple wooden steps in front of it, a small cabinet on the left, and a glass-enclosed shower in the corner. The old lady struggled for a moment as she yanked the heavy tank door of the tank open. It was a small opening, and the door was made of thick metal with a large, shiny chrome handle. The tank itself looked like it could stand up against anything. I peered my head in. The inside of the tank appeared to be painted black. Aside from the small amount of light that came in through the now open door, it was pure darkness. The light shined through about 8 inches of hazy, salted water sitting undisturbed on the bottom. It had a scent like the ocean, and the air inside was dense and humid. So, I started, pulling my head from the tank. What do I do? Well, she reached down into the small cabinet next to the tank, removing a white towel. You're going to need a shower first. Get any oils, dirt, and sweat off your skin. This will help the salt do its magic. Then you just get into your birthday suit and slide into the tank. I'll come back in an hour to let you know when your time is up. She handed me the towel. Oh, and don't worry, I won't peep on you. She laughed as she exited the room, closing the door behind her. Okay, I thought. Easy enough. I did as she said, stripping down and giving my body a quick rinse. Once I was done, I stood outside the chamber for a moment, staring in nervous hesitation. The fear of the unknown began to take hold. What would it be like? Would the pure darkness and lack of any sound drive me to insanity? I wallowed in dread for a moment, anxiously pacing back and forth in front of the large metal box. A strong sense of foreboding took hold. Fighting my nerves, I told myself to get it together. I convinced myself it wouldn't be that bad. I told myself to quit wasting time and just get in the thing. So, I did. I walked up the small, wooden stairs and up to the tiny square hole. It was barely big enough for me to fit through, but I knew I would. Another fear took hold as I stepped inside, standing in the hatchway for a moment. What if I was claustrophobic and didn't know it? I'd never been in a confined space for any extended period of time before, so how could I know? I swallowed the thought, pushing it deep down in my stomach, and continued into the chamber. The water inside was warm, the perfect temperature. The air was warm as well, and rich with moisture. I sat down, noticing that, aside from physically being able to see it, I couldn't quite tell where the water stopped and my body began. I reached up and pulled the hatch above me closed and was plunged into pure, horrifying darkness. It was unsettling, being in such an absence of light. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. That, coupled with the absence of all sound, was pure terror. The only thing I could hear was the sound of my heart thumping away my chest. The drone in my ears from the blood moving through my veins became deafening. That's when I realized I'd been holding my breath. As I sharply inhaled, the sound hummed inside my head. The sound of air whooshing in and out of my lungs blared with each hurried gasp. Just concentrate on your breathing, I told myself. In through the nose, out through the mouth. I repeated the mantra in my head a few times before I finally felt my nerves beginning to calm. I noticed the tension in my arms and legs. Had I been straining them since I started having this mini panic attack? I released the tension, and a deep-seated feeling of relaxation overtook me. The darkness wasn't so bad. The sound of my breathing, humming in my ears rhythmically, was actually starting to seem relaxing. In the void of light, I noticed something beginning to emerge. A phyllotaxis pattern of sorts. It began with a single, triangular shape, turning clockwise as it morphed into two, then spiraling out into 3, 4, 5, 10, until the pattern was infinite. A perfect, organic spiral continuing before my very eyes. Oh my God, I thought in amazement. Something began to happen to the pattern. Something was disrupting it. A deep blooming caused it to fizzle out and dissipate back into the void. Were these the auditory hallucinations the old lady had warned me about? The blooming continued to thunder in my ears, overpowering the sounds of my breathing, sending me back into panic mode. I felt my breath become harsh and labored once again. An uneasy tightness gripped my chest, and I reached out, grasping for the walls. The sounds of screams came next. Pained, horrified screams. Things you can only imagine, but never thought you would hear. The sounds of women and children panicking and shrieking for dear God or whoever. It sounded as if they were in danger. A war zone of some sort, being slaughtered. Just calm down, I thought to myself once again. This time, much more sternly. Focus on your breathing. I took a sharp inhale into my nose, holding it for a few seconds, and back out my mouth. The rumbling booms continued, overlapped by the terrified shouting. Another deep breath, holding it in and exhaling through my mouth. The sounds began to die down, but still resounded. A final deep breath. Finally, things were quiet. I released my grip from the slimy walls surrounding me, and after a few moments of trying to clear my mind, I fell back into deep relaxation. The swirling spiral pattern began to emerge from the darkness once again, tricking my eyes into thinking I was seeing something that wasn't there. They continued to morph, revolving before me in a hypnotic turn. I felt my eyes begin to get heavy, but never felt myself fall asleep. I must have, though, because I was awoken abruptly. Someone pounding on the hatch door. I jerked myself upright, trying to hear what they shouted, but I couldn't make it out. There was silence, and I removed my earplugs. "Hello?" I said. The echo reverberated through the chamber. The sudden loud sound sent my ears into a frenzy, overwhelming my senses. The lid of the door swung open, shining bright orange light into the chamber. My eyes sealed shut, fighting to maintain the deprivation of senses they'd grown accustomed to. "We got one over here," the gruff voice of a man shouted behind him. I slowly opened my eyes to see a large figure of a man with wrinkled features. Not wrinkled from age, but stress. He had a thick, grey mustache and large 80s-style glasses. He reached a gloved hand in, extending it out in a grasp. "Take my hand, kid," he said, shaking it in front of me, as if he were trying to coax me to do something I didn't want to do. I took his hand in my grip, allowing him to help me to my feet and out of the tank. My hands were stiff and my grip weak. My legs wobbled under my body as I struggled to step out of the tank. "Easy there, kid," the man, who was now made out to be a firefighter, said to me. He grabbed me under the elbow and helped me step out of the chamber. Another fireman ran up, handing a towel over to cover my exposed body. I looked around in shock. It was a scene more fit for a post-apocalyptic movie than my daily life. The sky was darkened. Had it become night? How long was I in there? Smoke painted shadows across the navy blue horizon. Bricks and rubble laid scattered all around me. The shower, or what once had been the small enclosure, was now nothing but a metal pipe that continuously sprayed water in all directions. Small plumes of smoke emerged from beneath the piles of rock and shattered glass. "What?" I started to say, but halted. I couldn't find the words. Confusion overtook my senses, and I felt consciousness beginning to fade. My legs gave way, and I fell to my knees. The rubble stamped into my skin, sending a jolt of pain at my legs. "Hey, kid," he said in a rush, "don't pass out on me." He gripped my arm tighter and pulled me back up to my shaky feet. "I need you to stay awake for a little while longer. Just a little bit longer." His demands began to turn into more of a plea. I fought to stay awake, ultimately succeeding despite my eyes continuing to get heavier and heavier. My stomach churned and nausea settled. The heat was overwhelming, but I didn't know why. It was dark. It should have been cold. And where was the light coming from? My eyes shot open when I saw it. Out of the corner of my eye, coming from a pipe that ran into the ground, was a large plume of bright orange fire. A group of men brandishing hoses fought it, attempting to kill the flame before it spread any further. "What happened?" I asked, wide-eyed and full of terror. "Gas main blew, took the whole building down. You're lucky you were in there," the firefighter said, motioning his head back to where the tank sat. It remained unfazed by the destruction. "You didn't hear anything?" he asked as he led me to a nearby ambulance. The EMTs stood outside of the truck, awaiting my arrival. They had a stretcher at the ready. "You couldn't hear the explosions? The screams?" His voice quavered a bit, as if it was on the verge of tears. "You're the only one. Who made it?"